All right, dude, you're never going to believe what I saw the other day.
What did you see the other day?
All right, we're driving down one of the little side streets. Side streets here in Riverside, right? It's the vaccine. No, I'm just kidding. Here in Riverside.
Yep.
I was going about 30, 35.
This is your first mistake, but continue.
Yeah, right? And here, right next to the window, dude, was this fucking chicken. Keeping up with me at like 30 miles an hour, dude.
A chicken.
Chicken, dude.
Nice.
And at 30, I could see its little patas, right? Going, right? Yeah, yeah. I know this, dude. I shit you not, three-legged chicken, dude. I was like blown away. What the fuck is this three-legged chicken doing here, you know?
That's how he's running so fast.
Yeah, that's what I figured, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like maybe 10 miles per hour per leg. We're here at 30. So I start to accelerate, dude. 40.
Let's test this chicken out.
I'm testing him, dude. Let's see how many horsepower this cluck's got. I'm going 40, right? He's right here next to me, keeping up with me. 45, 50. A fucking chicken's right there, dude, parallel with me. And all of a sudden, dude, takes off in front of me, cuts in front of the fucking truck, goes ahead, takes off on me, dude.
A chicken.
Yeah, I was trying to keep up with this three-legged fucking chicken, dude. All of a sudden, it breaks left into a farmer's driveway. So I had to, like, slam on the brakes. Ah! Reverses. I go down up the driveway where I met this farmer, right? And I'm talking to this farmer. I go, dude, you're never going to fucking believe what I saw. And he goes, yeah, what'd you see? I says, there was this three-legged chicken going about 60 miles an hour down the road. And he goes, yep, that's my three-legged chicken.
Wow.
I'm like, that's your three-legged chicken? He's like, yep, we breed them that way down here. I'm like, you breed three-legged chickens. He was like, yeah, let me put it to you this way. You like a drumstick? So yeah, I love a drumstick.
Drumsticks. Yeah, delicious.
He goes, your wife, she like a drumstick? Yeah, she loves a drumstick too. And he goes, well, what about if you have a guest over?
Oh, game changer. Oh,
fuck, dude. This guy is breeding three-legged chickens for, you know, small dinner parties.
Yeah, plus ones.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, like, if he's breeding them that way, it's got to be something weird. So I go, how do three-legged chickens taste? And he goes, don't know. Never caught one.
The Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh, shit. Okay, bitches. You guys are going to be mine.
Social Nuisance Podcast.
Downtown! Yeah, here we are. So it's a three-legged chicken that he breeds for dinner.
Yep.
But he doesn't really have them for dinner because he's never caught one.
They go 70 miles an hour, dog.
You can never catch that.
They're chicken. Like the cheetahs of chickens. The jaguar. Cheetah chicken, dude. Chicken cheetahs.
Cheetah. Chicken.
Yeah.
No, that was horrible. I was trying to combine.
Were you going for the two?
Yeah.
The chicken? You just sound like my grandma. Eat your chicken.
Hello and welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current, requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick-in-your-face perspectives to the betterment of humanity.
Wrong sound effect, sorry.
Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, become a short sponsor and we'll advertise or shout out whatever you want just by dropping a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name is Imagine, and joining me as always, I had something off the top of my dome. Off the top of my head, I had something.
You look like you just saw a dick or something. You're like, You know, I was thinking if short.
I just went, skirt, nigga, nothing.
You were not a three-legged chicken right now.
No, it was a three-legged chicken that just came to an abrupt
I was thinking stop. If short ever grows, we're going to have to throw him in a dryer just to keep our segment.
That's true. Motion.
So. Yeah. What's up, doggy?
How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Doing okay.
I'm all right. How was your week?
We're doing okay.
Yeah.
Enjoying the pains of being a homeowner. I've realized that, I haven't realized, I was informed that significant plumbing concerns with my new home is going to be a little over 10 grand.
Jesus.
So hit up that Venmo
at
Social Nuisance.
I found this app that lets you make 4 payments on purchases, but 4 $2,500 payments still even then.
Is that the math for 4 4 to 10.
Yeah, oh, okay. But that's to 10.
That's to 10.
You still got some change.
Yeah, it's definitely over 10.
Yeah.
Over 11, 12. Uh-huh. Potentially over 13. It's a lot of money. But, you know, I'm dealing with that. And, you know, fuck it, man. Because people are like, oh, shit. Like, well, that's what you get for being a homeowner. I'm like,
yeah, fuck you, asshole.
Yeah, but fuck you. But you know
that's what? That's like having a kid and it being a serial killer. You're like, well, that's what you get for being a parent. No, like, this one didn't work out, bro. That is not what I get.
I don't feel bad about it, you know, because at the end of the day, I still have this wonderful home.
Of course.
I still got the dirt in the backyard is fucking mine. And so is the name on the deed.
Yep.
So I don't have to fucking worry about any of that shit. And I feel good about it. You know, so be it. The equity that I've been here in this home for about a month now.
Uh-huh.
And in equity, we've already made significant money.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into it, but I'm just going to say it's not that bad.
Yeah, no,
life
absolutely.
Life is good.
Absolutely.
So it's going to pay off in the long run. You know, you're going to pay up front this exuberant amount of money for owning a home, but fuck it.
I live in a house that, well, we rent, of course, but the it's one of the houses that, like, I so am okay renting that if the owner of the house is like, for whatever reason, you could buy this house for half of what it's worth, I'd be like, fuck this dump. You know what I mean? Like, I would
That's
never own.
No.
There is a laundry list of problems taking place. The houses, the doors don't close because the house is crooked.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Pass. Think I'm purchasing that? Eat a dick, bro.
Yeah.
So
I thought the house was good. Apparently not the case. So we're investigating any potential
avenues,
fuckery
that
may have occurred prior. But whatever. At the end of the day, it's still a house that my family is safe and secure and everything's cool, man. You know?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, people always say you have a problem. But you know what? I try to stay humble about it. People are definitely praying for my problems. So I'm kosher. I'm
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool as a cucumber.
I don't know, man. I'm not I guess in perspective, you know, problems kind of shrink down to size. But also, like, I'm completely cool with, you know, prioritizing perspectives and mine being first and being, no, that's my problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when you're a kid and someone steals your bike.
Yeah.
You're like, you're devastated.
Yeah.
Like, because that world, your world was that bike.
Yeah.
And then someone else is like, yeah, like,
well, there's kids starving in Africa.
Yeah. Fuck them. You know what I mean? This is my bike, bro. My world.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know, man.
Yeah. I agree.
You know?
It's true. Because, you know, these are the things that are important to you.
Yeah.
You know, I was lucky enough to not be one of the numerous starving children in the world. I was lucky to be born, you know, quite prosperous.
Yeah.
So I will definitely count my blessings. But at the same time,
I can be upset.
This sucks.
Yeah.
This still sucks.
And I tell you what would that little starving kid in Africa do about this 13 plus change $1,000 problem? He'd be more fucked than you.
Yeah, it's true.
Wait, that's the point, right?
Yeah, that's the point.
The point is that they're more fucked than. Yeah. Well, there used to be this joke where it was like Timmy and Jimmy wake up on Christmas morning and Jimmy's got like all the presents under the table, under the tree. And which one has all the presents? Jimmy?
Yeah.
I should name them more different names.
Fuck it.
So Jimmy's got the presents and Timmy's sitting there playing with this one present, right? And Jimmy's like, hey, Timmy, does it bother you that you didn't get as many presents as me? Timmy's like, yeah, at least I don't have cancer. And that's why Jimmy got decked out, you know?
Okay, yeah.
I don't know how that relates to the story, but
I think it's count your blessings. But at the same time, it's okay to be upset with a fucked up situation in your life.
Absolutely.
You know, if someone comes up, it goes back to that toxic positivity that people, you know, we talked about, you know, a couple segments ago, where people can be overly positive and they're like, oh, you know, just keep on trucking.
Yeah.
Which is true. I mean, my motto, keep moving forward. Absolutely. Definitely. But it's okay to be upset. It's okay to, you know, be a little depressed and be down. But as long as you know, pick yourself back up. Yeah.
Well, in Ford, my interpretation, we never really delved into KMF and what it means, not just to you, but to people. I would be interested in see what our fans think of when KMF comes up.
Yeah.
Because to me, it was never linear. Like, you could almost think of, and I didn't think of like sharpness, like stocks.
Yeah.
But I definitely think of like hills and then valleys. And yeah. It's you're never always 100, but you, as long as you keep pressing,
yeah,
you'll press through the bad thing and you'll rise back up again, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's exactly what it was. So for those who know me, KMF, that's my motto. It's tattooed on my arm. Keep moving forward. It all started originally when I saw the movie Meet the Robinsons. It was a Disney movie, Disney animation movie, okay. Meet the Robinsons. And the kid in the movie just kept saying, well, keep moving forward.
Oh, yeah?
Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. And that was like the motto I'm in the movie. I'm glad
you picked that one, because if it was keep on swimming, I'd be like, this doesn't make sense.
You don't swim, bro. I've never seen you in the pool.
You're like, keep on swimming. I'd be like, look, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where it came from. So I saw the movie. It also, at the end of the movie, it shows to be a Walt Disney quote, who I hold in high regard for the things that he accomplished professionally.
Correct.
And it was at a time in my life where I was just really struggling, really trying to find myself, and right thing at the right time, and it just stuck, and I embodied it, and now it's my thing.
Yeah.
So KMF all day, every day. But like you say, it's not particularly linear.
Yeah.
Even lateral moves is forward.
Yeah.
As long as you're attempting, persisting, persevering, that to me is forward momentum.
Well, and life will have its setbacks as long as you keep moving forward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could take two steps back. Something around you might pull you down a little bit.
Yeah.
But as long as you don't dwell in that or start to, you know, retract and retrace and go back, as long as you keep moving forward, the environment around you will you know, be what it is.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The environment around you is what it is, but you are the one thing. You're the variable in that equation.
That you have control
you
of.
You have control
Correct.
Of.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Like my beard.
Yeah.
Not that you have control of my beard, but you could. If you got a firm grip right beneath my chin, you could have it. Let me ask you something else now that you say this. That was a movie, even though it was a child's movie, that you watched in adulthood.
Yeah.
What is something from a movie that you took from childhood that you kind of always kept in the back of your head and not necessarily celebrated it, or not feared or revered it either, but just something that you took from a movie you saw as a kid into life and then kind of always considered it, you know, thereon and therefore.
Yeah. Number one, I'm a Jedi.
All right.
Low key. I don't celebrate it, but it's true.
Okay.
Number three, fuck the ocean.
Fuck the ocean.
Nothing positive comes out of being a human in the ocean.
What about
sharks? No, always.
What about the fucking one, Eric, Prince Eric?
He almost got shipwrecked. He was saved by a fucking mermaid.
Right.
He was spending time in the ocean.
And he married her. Now he finger blasts a girl who can't talk. So, ow!
So if you finger blast a mermaid.
No.
And if women allegedly smell like fish.
Uh-huh.
But you're.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's where the metaphor came from.
Okay, so that's where it all came from, Princess Ariel?
I think so. No, but I thought she got her legs in the end, right?
I think she kept them.
You know what a win-win would be if she got her legs and then still didn't have the voice?
Did you know in the Hans Christian Andersen, the actual story?
Okay, careful how you use the word true.
Okay, true.
No, I'm just kidding.
The actual version that he wrote.
I heard it was, okay, tell me. I vaguely remember something terrible.
She didn't get the prince,
uh-huh.
And she just turned into sea foam and evaporated into the ocean.
See, that would probably be a win for her, because he probably was a douchebag who cheated, maybe abusive.
Yeah.
Look, there was no hashtag Me Too Bro back then.
Yeah.
So Prince Eric kind of probably, that handsome, the whole world in his palms, couldn't possibly be a good husband, right? No fucking way.
Too much going on positive in his way.
You know who I took from in a childhood movie? Was Aladdin. I loved Aladdin. Oh, I loved the fact that
yourself?
A street rat, like, stole when he had to.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was cool with the fucking homeless kid. There's a part where, like, there's three different women and the big one, too, is up above. And it's clear that he banged all three of those broads. Aladdin is, like, I live through Aladdin, for
you
sure.
Know, I don't think there was one particular movie, but I think I've always just related to the lovable loser characters.
Mm-hmm.
The Adam Sandlers, the Aladdin, the underdog, Little Giants, that 90s movie.
Love
that shit. So just that type of sentiment of like, you don't fit in, you're kind of an outcast, you're kind of a loser, but you have some really good qualities deep down, and someday they're going to shine.
See, I was always...
I related to that.
One of my favorite characters of all time was Starscream. Because he was like Megatron's.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait, Transformers?
Yeah. So okay. He was a Decepticon. He was a bad guy?
Yeah, he was an Optimus.
Decepticon.
Yeah, he was Megatron's right hand.
He wasn't Megatron's right hand. Oh. He was. He was like his sergeant at arms. He was like,
sure. Okay.
But Starscream's whole motive was to destroy Megatron and lead the Decepticons.
Himself.
So he could only trust Starscream so much.
Mm.
And that guy was always kind of, I was always like, when Cobra Kai came out, I was like, I fucking told you. I told you he wasn't the bad guy. Because I always felt like no, there's always got to be, you know, like, not the Wizard of Oz. What's the other one where it tells the witch's story?
Oh, Wicked?
Wicked.
Yeah.
I was like, they should call that Blessed.
I finally saw that, but it was pretty good.
It's phenomenal. Oh, well, I saw it in New York on Broadway.
Oh, okay. I saw it in Pantages.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's still, it was
good. I was expecting more from the story.
Oh, really?
I thought it was going to be more of like an intrinsic fall from grace. Tragic Heroes. I've learned to appreciate Tragic Heroes more. Once I learned that kind of narrative and the fall from grace, then I became really, I didn't relate to them, but I was just fascinated. The level of empathy, because I too had a fall from grace, and I totally understand where you're a really good person that's just pushed to the edge, and then you do some really bad shit. But then that story of redemption always really spoke to me. So like,
I feel like
Anakin Skywalker of the Star Wars saga.
Uh-huh.
I've always really appreciated the Anakin Skywalker story arc.
See, I feel like the depth, as me being like, I consider myself a storyteller, and I would love to be better at it. But I love being a storyteller. I think the depth in the story is in the villain.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. But it's probably only because the story, whatever story, is about the hero.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, we're not going to jump into the villain story, even though Disney's kind of been doing that, right? With like over the past 10 years, kind of resurfacing and addressing.
Oh, no, not like that. Well, the way that they've been romanticizing villains.
Have they?
Which is total horse shit.
Because that got Trump elected, right?
Well, I guess so. But I think people like being bad. They like, ooh, they're the bad one.
Yeah.
You know, ooh. And they want to be associated with, like, it's good to be bad.
I just think there's so much more material in what could have made someone go wrong than what could have made someone go right.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. There's so much depth. And I think a great villain is one that you're like, oh, he kind of has a point.
Yeah.
And that's why I can appreciate the story of Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, so
I can appreciate Thanos. All the fucking Marvel characters have great villains, majority of them.
Yeah.
Because they have that depth to them. We're like, oh, they kind of has a point there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can't be a good, because you need in these days, not so much when we're growing up. And when we're growing up, it was very basic. It was like, there was the hero, you wanted to relate to the hero, you wanted to hate the bad guy.
Yep.
But now storytelling has gotten so great. And I credit a lot of it to The Sopranos, and I'll tell you why in a second.
I've never watched it, so I can only relate so much.
Okay. But I'll tell you why I think this.
Yeah.
That now, it's not good enough to just beat a villain.
Yeah.
People have to kind of identify with that villain. At some point, your villain has to be good. Because we have to almost not want him to go down. I feel like the basic story of like the good guy comes, the bad guy dies, that's done. That's the 70s and 80s. Right. You're not going to hold our attention. You're not going to make money in the box office. You got to get us for a second to agree with the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And then also get us to be okay with him going away at the end.
Yeah.
And the reason I say is credit to The Sopranos is because to me that was the first show in television where the hero, loosely, because there's no better word.
The protagonist. The
protagonist, thank you, that we identify with day in and day out, that we got to know his family, and we want him to be okay, and he gets intense situations where it's a life or death consequence, and we're obviously rooting for him, was a terrible fucking human.
Yeah,
is killing people.
Tony Soprano. Yeah.
And not just, and you know, nobody else could have pulled off Tony Soprano like Jim Scandolfini.
I got to watch it then.
He made insane acting decisions to speak a certain way, to sit a certain way, to eat. He always ate kind of sloppy. Mm-hmm. He would kind of use his fingers and be a little mouthy. So he had things, ticks that like you hated about him.
Yeah.
But like, not morally,
yeah,
but virtuously?
Sure.
How do you say that? You know, virtues.
Sure.
Virtuous, that word.
I don't know either.
Do you know what I'm trying to say, though?
I know what you're trying to say, like, but I don't know the word.
Virtually.
I was going to shut the hell up.
With virtue, he would react. And his reactions were people could die. People yeah. died often. He ordered the hit many people, but it was always kind of fair and square.
Yeah.
You know, until the end.
There's a black screen involved. That's all I know.
Oh, no. Yeah. That end is silly. But I mean, the last season.
Okay.
And then, you know, like, so with that, I think things changed. And then, of course, you had like Sons of Anarchy to me is just a wannabe Sopranos. It was great. I liked it.
Sure.
Last season was the worst thing ever put together. But it was the same thing as you're rooting for a piece of shit.
Mm.
But you're not. He's not really a piece of shit because nobody who didn't deserve it didn't get it kind okay. of thing. You know what I mean?
What about I did watch Breaking Bad.
I only watched the first season of that.
Oh, it was a slow
burn. Was it slow?
Slow burn. But once you got in, oh, you were in. So yeah. that was really good. So the first three seasons are like, oh, okay, I'm powering through.
Yeah. I see
it was,
something.
It was good. Yeah, it was good. Same thing. So same thing when you're rooting for the what should be the antagonist.
Yeah.
You're rooting for him anyways. And just to see that spiral and fall from grace. I love seeing stories like that. So when you're talking about a villain, we're looking for traits you want to relate to, unless they're an absolute fucking asshole.
Right.
Like Derek Chauvin, who's now going to be in jail for
Talk
hopefully
about a fall from grace.
I'm not sure there was a lot of grace in just being a police officer.
His life is in his eyes, in his life, he had it all. He got to be the dirtbag that he is,
yep.
openly in public,
yep.
treat people like shit,
yep.
until one day, one fucking summer day, spring day,
yep.
he just went two steps too far.
Yeah, and got caught on film.
On film.
In spectacular fashion.
You know, of all the debates of this case, the one thing I cannot fucking stand to hear is that man, George Floyd, may have died any other way that day.
Yeah.
People go, well, he was on this, he was on that, he was...
Yeah, so heart problems.
What? So what? He would have gone home. I'm not even saying he would be alive today if he didn't meet Derek Chauvin that day. What I'm saying is that day, he would have gone home.
Should have gone home.
Or gone to jail.
Or, yeah, he should have gone to jail too.
What I meant was he would be alive at the end of that night yeah. had he not met that man who, thank God, got convicted. What?
Three times.
Hell yeah.
Yep, three guilty verdicts, which was fantastic. And, you know, I wanted to talk about this because I don't want to talk about the case. I want to talk about people's reactions.
Okay.
There are those who are saying justice has been served. There are those who are saying finally accountability.
Correct.
And there are those who are saying, why are you celebrating? We shouldn't be celebrating. This is just one instance. And we have such a long fuckery road to go. We should not be celebrating today.
But those are all three perspectives of a victory, right?
Those are all three perspectives of a victory.
Because I also saw, why are you celebrating? You shouldn't celebrate something bad from someone who thinks that he should have been free. And then I also saw he didn't do it and he's going to get off. They're going to be a mistrial. Someone's going to review this.
Mm-hmm.
And so yesterday I had a minor operation. So I was knocked out at about 10 a.m.,
yeah.
And I was on my phone up until like 9:30.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, they're going to deliberate. Or they were yeah. deliberating Monday, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when I woke up, I got in the car and Twitter was like, oh, jury to come to, and by then it was like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
To make a decision. I go, oh, they're going to make a decision. And she goes, oh yeah, they convicted him. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Because I thought what was going to happen is he was going to get released because I thought the DA went too high on the charges.
Mm.
Honestly, I was like, there's no way.
I thought he was going to get 1 out of 3.
Yeah?
I thought he was going to get 1 out of 3.
I just thought they went too high. I was like, they should have gone, you know, manslaughter or something
yeah.
that you could get a cop for.
Yeah.
But, dude.
All three.
Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And I personally am satisfied with the verdict, obviously. What I am kind of torn between is the cause for celebration. Versus okay. those who are saying, hey, this is still a somber day. Some dude still died. Something still bad happened. And we still have a long way to go.
Yeah.
And I get that. But, you know, there is cause for celebration because we've gotten these L's for so long.
Dude.
That it was finally nice to see the justice system prevail the way it was supposed to in such a blatant case.
I just thought of a great metaphor. That verdict yesterday was like the first step on the moon.
Yeah.
And where we got to go
yeah.
is Elon shooting a Tesla up into space. But we would never get yeah. to Elon without that first giant leap for mankind.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I can see that.
I just hope it is eye-opening, dude. I don't want cops to, like, I do want cops to pull back. Obviously, it was the Wild West for a little bit there.
Of course.
And everybody has that in their job. You know, you got perks, and then all of a sudden a new manager comes in, and you're just like, fuck, remember we used to get free corn dogs? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Remember we used to be able to kill black people?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. But I'm just saying, like I don't want to come... This is, you know, I heard this perspective today that I really wanted to, like, reiterate on our podcast. And it's that police should be celebrating this verdict. Mm-hmm. Because they should be sick and fucking tired of being tied to people like that.
That's true.
Because when I say something like, hey, if a good cop rats on a bad cop, then that good cop's career is fucked, right?
Yep.
And everybody unanimously agrees.
Yep.
Here's the shifting point where the good cop can go, no, bad cops go to prison.
Yep.
And I'm a good cop. I'm not in prison. I'm out here pulling you over for being a dumb shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you don't get to fucking accuse me of being a bad cop because bad cops go to prison and I'm not in prison anymore.
Yeah.
Or not. I've never been. Yeah. You know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that if police could take that perspective, the filtration device is now taking place. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
We got like the Brita cop filter.
Yeah.
Going on.
I think that this is the first step. And yes, this is the first step of a very long journey.
Correct.
But as everyone says, every long journey begins
yeah.
with a first step.
Brick by brick.
So I'm hoping that this is that first brick, if not, you know, I'm not thinking back to any bricks that may have been laid previously, but this felt like a significant movement of progression.
It does.
And it should be celebrated. So in that sense, we should feel happy. We should feel joyous that our justice system is moving the way it should. And for those who are like, don't celebrate, you know, who are you to fucking poop on our parties, man?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't fucking matter to you. I mean, you have your perspective. Have your perspective. But again, if your perspective has nothing to do with anyone else, shut the fuck up and let us celebrate. You're not invited to the party. Just go stay over there.
And also, like...
Go poop in your own party.
Yeah. A terrible person got put away.
Yeah.
That's cause for celebration.
Yes.
Regardless as to what the occupation was.
Yes.
You know, so...
Yeah. The other thing I want to talk about is how people are sensitive to the situation
mm-hmm.
And so ready to pounce on something that they automatically deem as incorrect or they misinterpret.
Okay.
And a good example of this is the Las Vegas Raiders,
uh-huh.
the owner, not Al Davis, who the fuck, Mark Davis.
Well, Alvin Davis is dead, yeah.
Yes, Alvin Davis is dead. So Mark Davis took responsibility for a tweet that was sent out the day of the verdict being read. And it was a simple image that said, I can breathe
uh-huh.
with a date for 2021.
Okay.
So it was a play on words in the sense that... Mark Davis was referring back to George Floyd's brother, Philonise Floyd, who said at some point in time that it feels like I can breathe again.
Oh.
So Mark Davis was just supporting George Floyd's brother okay. in that sentiment.
Yeah.
So the Raiders on their official Twitter account put out this image that says, I can breathe
okay.
for 2021. Immediately, it was pounced as distasteful.
Well, because it sounds like Eric Garner.
Not even the Eric Garner piece, but it sounds like, I can't breathe. Okay, well, I can breathe. So fuck you. That's how some Twitter people were taking it. And so people are so quick to drive their own sentiment on something yeah. without taking into consideration the context.
Yeah.
So... Twitterverse just pounced on Mark Davis, and Mark Davis was like, well, fuck y'all, I'm not taking down the tweet.
Well,
this is what I meant by it. It's not my fault that you misunderstood it.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to express my appreciation that for once when Twitterverse came to cancel somebody.
Yeah, you can't cancel a Davis family.
Not even that, but when it came time for someone to like bend to Twitterverse, because we're calling for your cancellation we're saying fuck you and boycotting you. And usually 9 times out of 10, you'll have the organization or the celebrity, they'll issue an apology, they'll remove the tweet. Mark Davis was like, no, fuck that. I'm leaving it up. I take full accountability. If you have a fucking problem with it, don't take it out on the Raiders and the organization. That was all me.
See, I love that. I don't believe it at all because I don't think he does the Raiders Twitter.
Yeah, and neither do I.
I don't know who tweeted it that he loves that much.
Yeah.
I can see the miscommunication. I didn't read into it. I saw like people, Raiders on fire for I Can Breathe.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was like Eric Garner. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, you got the wrong black guy.
Yeah. So it goes back to Eric Garner when 2014 Eric Garner died. His thing was I Can't Breathe.
Yeah.
And supporters of the police in New York, they were shouting the phrase, I can breathe. So it kind of harkens back to that sentiment. Yeah. But again, they didn't know the context of Mark Davis and the organization of the Raiders. And what
and
they
I didn't
were
know
doing.
Floyd's brother had said, George Floyd's brother had said.
Yeah,
that.
So they issued a statement of support that George Floyd's family, they defended the Raiders after the backlash. And they're like, no, like, he's right. That's exactly what we felt. We felt like we could breathe again. Because for
the,
so long.
And the Davis family is furthest from like a bigotry and racism. They've always been just integration.
Okay.
Like he's never been somebody who's thought they had some sort of superiority.
I don't know that their background and the diversity and the inclusion piece, but I do know Al Davis was very much a fuck you, I'm gonna do what I want.
Absolutely. Yeah, and his son is too. Have you seen his haircut?
Yes. and I when I saw the story and I was reading into it, I was just like, I get the Twitterverse side, I get Mark Davis's side, I get Filoni's Floyd's side, I get everyone's side. Yeah. But this was just a clear example of everyone just calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
And let's take a moment to try and understand context. Because context totally matters.
You know, have you noticed in the 4 months of this, well, 3 months technically of this presidency, that things are as polarizing, but less volatile, right? The volatility of the reaction has gone down.
Yeah.
Like you can overreact to something, but no one's getting hurt now.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, things are
I'm
still
having a hard time with it. Sometimes it gets really hard to try to be smart. And that's one today's one of these days. But I think what I'm trying to say is that we all have our sides now.
Yeah.
But there's no one in the streets dying over it.
Yeah. I agree. I think there has been a noticeable difference where people are still as polarized and dealing with the remnants of the past 4 years and how polarizing it's been. But like you said, there's less marching to the streets with pitchforks and ready to fucking all out brawl. Now it's just seceding a little bit.
Hey, here's something weird. Let me ask you about this. Biden, they started to protect the White House in case the ruling had gone the other way. But Biden had reached out to the court and had requested to know before the world.
Yeah.
The verdict so that they could prepare for it.
Sure.
That's out of pocket, right?
I don't know anything about that. I don't know if that's true.
Pretend it is true.
If it is true, that is completely out of pocket.
Correct.
You need the justice system to be the
judicial
system.
Yeah.
You don't need to know in advance to get your PR in advance or to get, oh shit, it's a guilty. Go ahead and raise those fences a little higher.
Yeah.
No, that's totally out of pocket. You are a citizen just as much as we are citizens, and you are just as much a viewer of this.
Yeah.
Of the process.
No, that verdict goes from that lead juror to that judge. To the public.
Yep.
That's okay. That's how I felt too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No exception. No question. I hope that's not the situation.
Imagine that judge calling Biden like, hey, dude, are you going to bomb Syria? Before you do, can I get a heads up? Because I got some Syrian jurors on the trial.
Yeah.
And you're all.
Yeah. Those who need to know should need to know. And then those who are in the know should be prohibited from acting upon. It's insider information.
Yeah.
The same thing as insider training, which happened with the pandemic.
Well, and then doesn't that put that judge in a shitty place where he's like, I would love to be Supreme Court judge one day. And then Biden's like, well, I'm not going to live that long, but you know, I'll help you out. I'll put in a good word for you. Yeah. You know, it's just like, you guys are not supposed to scratch each other's backs, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally separate branches of government. Absolutely. In the same way that, you know, you have federal judges making decisions on something and the president should always be like, well, that's the fucking court, so that's not my job.
Yeah.
I'm here to I can provide an opinion, a perspective, but you know, it's definitely not for me to say anything.
You know, you said something about separate branches.
Yeah.
And did you ever go to Sizzler when you were little?
I fucking loved Sizzler.
All right.
The bread, bro.
Okay.
That's the only thing I miss about Sizzler.
Dude,
was the fucking bread.
I had this thought. You go when you were a kid?
Yeah.
All right. What was the genius behind Sizzler for us as children?
The bread.
For me, it wasn't the bread. It was the two salad bars.
There was okay.
You had the adult salad bar, and you had the kids salad bar.
There was a kids salad bar. You're okay. Right. It was a little bit lower.
Walk That's with
right.
me. Yep. The kids salad bar had the chicken dinos.
Yep. Yeah. They did.
Yeah. They had like pudding with sprinkles.
Yep.
They had the ice cream. The ice cream was right there too. Yep. By it. But I remember, like, clearly and vividly, the kid before me like picking his nose. Oh, and then getting like a kid. Handful of Dinos. And then being like, hey, I'm not going to eat all those. Putting two or three back because if I don't finish my plate, I'm not going to get ice cream. And he wasn't with me.
Yeah.
It wasn't like someone. It was just a kid before me.
Yeah.
And then I remember thinking like, I'll just avoid those Dinos and go Tops corner and get my own Dinos.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what happened. But I think that might be why COVID never affected me.
It all goes back just in selective Dino.
I just think if you fucked with the child salad bar at Sizzler...
You were made for this.
That's like swimming in the Hudson or something, dude. You know, I just think you got the antibodies for life.
Yeah.
If you fucked with the kids' salad bar at Sizzler.
So you're not resistant to the vaccine. You just don't fucking need it.
No, yeah. So
yeah, that's what it really comes down to. But there is a problem. There is a massive supply imbalance fueled by vaccine hesitancy. And I came across an article illustrating that in Illinois, they're currently having some issues with this imbalance. So public health officials are struggling to fill vaccine appointments because they have no one that wants to
get the vaccine.
They have a 3-week supply of doses.
Uh-oh.
And no one's signing up. But in other regions of different counties, they're just flying off the shelf.
So there's one county.
Yeah.
Okay. I bet you that has something to do with one, either predominant religion.
Yeah.
Or predominant race.
Yeah.
Because there are races and religions in our country that are hesitant to trust the government.
Yeah.
So what do they do with that? I mean, it's hard to transport, right?
Yeah. So there are some limitations to the vaccine and how they could be stored, how it could be transported. But ultimately...
Where the fuck are the Amish?
Pennsylvania.
Okay. My bad.
Yeah.
You knew that.
Yeah. I know stuff.
My bad. No, I know. But that what Amish
is,
stuff...
What is Pennsylvania? So they're struggling to figure out how to get people vaccinated because ultimately as a country, we need to get vaccinated to a certain degree, capture herd immunity. But what are we going to do when you get to a certain point? How do we express to these non-believers about the vaccine? What do you, if it's a free country, man, if you had a president in motion, what are we going to do?
It's a free country. My goal would be to make it as available, as readily available for as many people who want to do it.
Yeah.
I would never push it upon anyone other than considering education.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you were uninformed, I inform you, I don't take that as me pushing it upon you.
Yeah.
So I would try to make sure that everybody has as much education knowledge as possible.
Yeah.
To want to do the right thing.
So how do you feel about, because like you would not be in favor of the government mandating vaccinations?
I would not. No.
Okay. So how do you feel? Because they're on the same page.
Let me back that with I am not fair. It doesn't sit well with me, the government mandating anything. So sorry. Go ahead.
Cool. So that's what the government's position is right now. They know they're in for a world of shit if they say, according to federal law, you need to get fucking a vaccination. They know they're not going to fucking do that. So what instead they're doing, they're telling large private organizations, hey, nudge, nudge, you should ensure that if anyone enters your private property, they need to be vaccinated.
Well, like airlines.
Yeah. Airlines, Target, stadiums, Live Nation, all this shit.
Yeah.
They're all private organizations and they can run their organization how they wish as far as mandating public safety at their private establishment. So people that get pissed off going, you know, I don't have to wear my fucking mask at Trader Joe's. It's unconstitutional. It's like, well, you're at Trader Joe's and Trader Joe's gets to dictate how they run their business.
Correct.
So how do you feel about the government nudging private businesses to ensure that they have like vaccination proof?
I'm okay with nudging. What starts to get weird is when Donald Trump was president and he was fighting with Gavin Newsom.
Yep.
He started to threaten and withhold federal funding.
Yeah.
He was nudging. You see what I'm saying?
For what?
Whatever the fuck, the EPA, I don't know, whatever the fuck it was at the time, whatever the drama was, he said, if you don't do what Donald Trump wants, I'm going to hold back your funding.
Oh, okay.
So now it's just the other way around. Now it's just, hey, look, airlines, if you don't tell people we're not going to, okay, like, for instance, Georgia.
Well, I don't think they're withholding anything, though.
Georgia did. Georgia, Delta talked shit about Georgia. Delta's based out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And they talk shit about them for the new voter ID laws.
Yeah.
Okay. And Georgia goes, oh, you don't like our laws? And you're going to talk shit about us on Twitter? Okay. You no longer get the tax break you had.
Right.
And pulled it from them.
Yeah.
And Delta was almost bankrupt when they got that tax break.
Right.
So I'm okay with like nudges until they're fiscally motivated or punished or influenced. That gets to be a little bit too much. So when the government says like, hey, dude, what we hope you suggest this. And then those who did suggest it get a little kickback. And yes. Those who don't get punishment on top of nothing. Yeah. Then that gets a little outrageous.
I agree.
Because you're fucking with the free market.
I agree with that. I think a nudge and a recommendation
is one thing.
Is definitely one thing. If they choose not to follow through with it, then it should be like, ah, fuck, we tried.
And we just saw examples. Like, I don't remember exactly what it was that Trump threatened Newsom with. I knew originally it was EPA shit. Like, they were talking about the forest fires.
Yeah, yeah.
And then later it was something else. Whatever the fuck it was. I don't know. But that's no longer a nudge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're threatening funding.
That's a quid pro quo. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't do this, I'm not going to do that. If you do this, I'm going to do that.
Exactly. So yeah. that I have a problem with that. And the federal government is not really supposed to be nudging, you know, in that direction. Yeah. Especially because that, like, just like when we talk about trickle-down economics.
Yeah.
That's trickle-down politics.
Yeah.
We should be nudging up.
Oh, yeah.
Not down. Because the government, local government, regional government, and state government have to respond to us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that, I mean, I don't know. I'm, like I said, I'm cool with suggestions. I'm cool with saying we got the top funding, we got the top science, and this is the way it should go.
Yeah.
Help us do that.
Yeah.
But when you're saying there's going to be a reward or a punishment, that gets, you know,
crazy. I agree. So now that we're getting to a point where we have people who want to get the vaccination and those who do not, I'm waiting for the research that says, well, if you get vaccinated, you're solid. It actually really works really well. You don't spread it and you can't really get it severely.
I don't think there's people who don't believe that. I think there's people who think that something bad is going to happen to them for getting vaccinated. I don't think anybody thinks the vaccine doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's this weird misconception that the vaccine is going to turn you into a Ninja Turtle. Well, not a Ninja Turtle, because then everybody would do it.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
do it again. It didn't work the first time. Try again.
Something bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, speaking of villains, a Shredder movie would be dope.
That would be
How
great.
Does Shredder get to be Shredder?
Yeah.
Patent pending. No, but seriously, so I don't think anyone's worried about the vaccine not working. I think what they're worried about is what it's going to do to
them. The adverse effects. Yeah, maybe so, but nevertheless, I'm waiting for the research to confirm that the vaccine does what it needs to do.
I think it would.
And, well, people just don't fucking care.
Yeah.
They hear like the results. Hey, you're going to be fine. Hey, the vaccine works. And people are still like, So I'm waiting for it to confirm that once you're vaccinated, you can't spread it.
Yeah.
And you can't get it. At that point, I don't give a fuck who gets the vaccine, who doesn't get the vaccine. If you don't want to get it, hey, that's all you. COVID's coming your way. It may or may not fuck you up.
That's what I'm saying.
And then I don't care.
They're not hesitant because of what effect the vaccine is going to have on COVID.
Yeah.
So that data is only going to support your perspective.
Yeah, that's all I care about.
Yeah. So, but what I'm saying is the opposing perspective is what effect is the vaccine going to have on the person?
But that research has already been reviewed.
No, but over time. There's going to be, hopefully there isn't.
Yeah.
But 1 year effects.
Sure. Of the vaccine?
And COVID.
Sure. Well, I think COVID, I think they're definitely reviewing that. I think you have a valid point in reviewing what effects the vaccine will have long term. I feel
like I think there's no argument to your data. I think the vaccine works.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
but is it going to do anything harmful in the long run?
Exactly. I think the people who aren't getting the vaccine are perpetrators of that perspective.
I feel confident in that the research and review of that question has already been answered.
Yes.
I feel confident. I do as well. So for those who, my ultimate point is, once we find out that everything's A-OK if you get the vaccine,
yeah.
and then we can just
the benefits
move on with it. And those who don't want to get it, I'm all firing them. Give a fuck. You do what you want to do. But you know, if COVID comes their way,
yeah,
I have little to no sympathy.
Well, I mean, that's what it's been the whole year and a half, anyways, right? Like, if you were out and about, if you were without a mask, if you were being reckless,
yeah.
We're not here to empathize with
you. Yeah, I saw Ted Nugent got COVID.
Did he?
And I just kind of like, because he was talking so much shit about it. And then I saw an article. I only read the headline. Read the fucking thing because I didn't give him any time.
Yeah, well, fuck Ted Nugent.
Yeah, so he read like, oh, I felt like I was dying. I'm like, dumbass. What do you think we were talking about this whole time?
There is a guy who had a like fuck COVID convention die of COVID last week.
I remember that.
Or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like brand new, barely. I mean, yeah. It's not a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Like, I still don't understand how people could think it's not real.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So would you do a COVID vaccine annually?
If it felt
like a flu, shot?
Like a flu shot. As the world continues to evolve and develop and we know more about the world we live in, if COVID becomes a new strain like the flu, uh-huh. That we have to deal with it on an annual basis.
Yeah.
Then yeah.
So I wonder, like, okay, we talked about the Spanish flu in the 1900s, early 1900s.
Yeah, it's racist. Continue.
was this?
We've been talked about that a long time ago.
Okay. So
it's where it came from. It's not a. Yeah. Cool.
Good. So I wonder, like, I don't get flu shots.
Okay.
And not that I wouldn't, I just don't get them.
Yeah, me too.
The flu doesn't really affect me at all.
Yeah, me too.
So how cool would it be if like the COVID shot is an annual thing? What I'm getting at is, when did the Spanish flu happen? When did the flu shot originate?
Yeah.
What if we're in that space?
Yeah.
You know, and then the flu shot, everybody got the flu shot from 1920 to 1950. I don't know. I'm just making up numbers. And then after that, people kind of started to like not need it.
Yeah.
You know, and then some people got it. Some people didn't. Mostly elderly and mostly kids.
Sure.
And then wouldn't it be like, what if we're in that phase where it's just like, we all need this COVID vaccine.
For now.
For this generation.
Yeah.
And then in further generations, really only our elders
and
our youth will need it.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that possible?
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, anything's possible as we continue with science and modern medicine and review and research and invest in this type of research, we'll learn more about it. And as the time goes on, as with any virus, we start to learn how it works. And if we can eradicate it, ultimately, that's the goal, like smallpox.
Me, I'm just like, I'm not with the whole like George Soros thing or the Microsoft, you know, chipping us.
It's all true.
Yeah. I'm just I'm just like, I don't want to be a part of anything till I have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's fair. I mean, these are...
I was the last person to join Facebook.
These are all life-impacting things, like Facebook.
Yeah, no shit.
That you feel like, you know, I don't want to get on this train.
Yeah.
Until you have to get on the fucking train.
Well, and also the way people use statistics and numbers, it's like, if I don't have to be in a demographic yet,
yeah,
I don't want to be.
Yeah.
But like if they, okay, back to your original question, if the government nudges the airline industry to say, hey, you have to be vaccinated on the airplane.
Yeah.
I'm getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
I'm not driving to Arkansas.
I'm not doing this.
I've done it before.
Yeah.
Sorry, Pops, you're not worth it.
Yeah. Makes total sense. I mean, if how much do
you Pops is vaccinated.
How much do you want to be part of society? As society in this country moves in a particular direction.
When you say it like that.
How much do you want to be a part of it? But with your own individual consciousness.
Look at the vaccine got you, yourself, bro.
Do you want to continue on that track? And that goes both ways. Both in progression and regression.
Yeah.
You can see America fall from grace. You're like, oh, it's probably time to pull the ripcord and get the fuck out of here.
You know what is super cool? If you went back to this date last year and you listened to our podcast... And we were officially quarantined by now.
Yeah.
And we were not meeting. We were doing Squadcast.
Probably.
And the way we spoke, I think we thought it was going to be like 6 weeks. We were like, dude, my birthday's in May. I'll make out with you on my birthday. You know, like.
It'll be fine.
But the fact that we can generate a solution to something so severe in a year span.
Yeah.
You know, we were taking the virus, not lightly, but. As like such a thing, we weren't even saying vaccine back then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the option to a vaccine, I feel like the virus got so severe where they were like, all right, dude, now we're at like stage 4 clinger.
Yeah.
You know, like level 7, we need a vaccine. And that was like August, September.
Yeah.
So I just think it's really beautiful that we live in a place that that turnaround can happen in such a short amount of time.
When you have that type of dedication, because people are definitely concerned that the vaccine was created so quickly. But A, the technology that was going into this kind of vaccine was already...
Is it already existing?
It was already existing. Yes. So they just kind of reapplied what was already going on.
Well,
but then B, you have all of fucking world science coming together. Going,
focusing
okay,
on...
Okay, everyone pause on what you're doing.
Yep.
We got to handle this first.
Exactly.
That's quite the coordinated effort and kind of illustrates what it is the human race is capable of if we all come together and focus on something.
That perspective alone eliminated all my skepticism. Because it was like literally all of the science in the world were like, we're going to put a hold on this. We're going to put a hold on this. We're going to put a hold on this. We're all going to do this one thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I know I told you I was waiting for the Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
Right about Johnson & Johnson since then, not a good company. Not just the vaccine, but overall.
Oh, yeah. They're a shitty company.
Yeah.
I'm happy they made a vaccine. Granted, again, they did something.
Their baby powder kills people.
Oh, yeah. They're an awful company.
It's called baby powder.
That's because it's made of babies.
Is that what it is?
Baby, I don't know.
I thought it was because it was powder. Oh, well, what are you going
to
do?
So what I'm going to do is continue on to our next segment. I think that went well last time.
All right.
Am I the asshole?
All right.
So the question is today, am I the asshole for telling my mom that I didn't like the food she made when she asked about it? As part of my family's dinner, my mom made a salad out of a ton of different beans, corn, salsa, and I personally don't like beans too much. So I wasn't going to eat it, but my mom really wanted me to try it, so I did. Unsurprisingly, I didn't really like the salad. Despite not liking the salad, I finished it since I didn't want the food to go to waste. After I finished it, my mom asked me if I liked the salad. I replied, it was okay, but I didn't really like it. This made my mom really upset. She claimed that my opinion of the salad would negatively influence my other family members' opinions of it and that I should have lied about liking it. Both of my sisters agreed with my mom, and I responded by saying that I gave her my honest opinion and I shouldn't have lied about liking the food that I really didn't like. Am I the asshole? Now, when I'm thinking about this kind of thing, not particularly. I don't think you were the asshole. Your mom asked you for your opinion, and you gave her the opinion. Now, are you being conscientious about her feelings, her efforts in making the food, and how she's going to feel when you give her that opinion? Or even at that, when you ask someone for your opinion, right? So you're going up to someone and say, hey, tell me if you like this, or what do you think about this? You have to ask yourself before you even answer that question. Why are they even asking me about my opinion? Do they really care about my opinion, or are they just looking for some reverberation about what they want to hear instead of my opinion? They just want to hear what they want to hear in my voice. And I think that's something that you really have to take in consideration when people ask you shit like that, because ultimately it's not so much a thing. I tried to go on as long as I could. I couldn't do it.
No.
So my mom asked me for my opinion on the salad. I don't like the salad. Cool.
Got that. All right. I would say... What was your... I know you didn't like the salad, but how did you deliver the message?
So this is the thing. So I'm talking about like, okay... I'll cut out all
Did you walk
shit.
On eggshells?
Hold on.
Sorry.
This made my mom really upset. She claimed that my opinion of the salad would negatively influence my other family members' opinions of it and that I should have lied about liking it. Both of my sisters agreed with my mom. I responded by saying that I gave her my honest opinion and I shouldn't have to lie about liking food that I didn't really like. Am I the asshole? So when you're in this type of situation, before you even answer the question, you have to ask yourself about the person who's asking you the question. Are they really asking you for your opinion, or do they just genuinely want to hear what they want to hear from your voice? I think that's really important before you even fucking consider what your answer is going to be, because they don't even fucking care.
Dude, there's so many layers to that.
Right,
and,
okay.
And I'll say the touchiest of these layers is because it's coming from this person's mother.
Oh, okay. That's a good
okay?
one. Yeah.
Because you got to pick up on her cues.
Okay.
Because she will lob you,
yeah,
you know, a question to which you can just easily hit a grand slam.
This wouldn't be the first time she's probably asked him this question, right?
Right. Or, I mean, in this way, like, oh, did you like it? You know what I mean? Or like, hey, did you like it?
Yeah.
And anytime somebody expects you to lie or needs a lie from you, they're the asshole.
Yeah.
Which I, you know what? This, the name of this game is not who's the asshole.
Yeah.
It's am I the asshole?
Yeah.
Because every time we play this game, I go, no, fuck them. They're the asshole. And you're like, that's not what I asked. No. So anytime someone expects a lie out of it, but I would also say that it, there's tact, right? Tact yeah. is word for a reason.
Yeah.
And you need to respond appropriately to the situation. But I would say that anytime you're forced into providing an untruth,
yeah,
you're not really the asshole unless you do this. Walk with me for a second.
Okay, here we go.
You provide the untruth of a lifetime. So thick and so peppered with sarcasm
yeah.
that the smell of your bullshit sweeps across the room like a Scooby-Doo scent, right? When you're just like, no, mom, this is the best fucking salad I've ever had.
Because she'll that'll go well.
Yeah.
She'll accept that.
But she knows she you know, queued up you to like be dishonest. And then you're just like, you carry that dishonesty like a backpack up the Himalayas.
Oh, okay. So it's like, here's my bullshit. Okay, I see your bullshit.
Yeah.
Let me raise you this bullshit.
Yeah. But then imagine she responds. She's like, I knew you would love it. And it's just this weird game of sarcastic chess going on across the table.
Someone's got to break. And at that point, it's always going to be the kid.
Okay. So the biggest problem is with the inspiring. It's that you would have possibly motivated your sisters to respond. To not you, said person, would have possibly motivated negative answers out of them because of your honesty. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what the concern was. Like, so, you should have lied and said it was good so everyone else would say it was good and think, oh, yeah, you think positively in a situation, it's going to go well.
Am I mistaken, though? Didn't the sisters think it was good?
Yeah, it made mom really upset, and mom claimed that my opinion of the salad would negatively influence my other family members' opinions
of it. But they liked the salad.
I don't know. We never got the final verdict from the rest of the family, but his sisters agreed with mom saying that he should have lied.
Oh, see, that's where I misunderstood.
Okay,
agreed with mom that the salad was good.
No, both of my sisters agreed with my mom that I should have responded that I said that it was good.
What's happening here is a classic Mexican standoff. It's the women are agreeing.
I like how you approach this as like, okay, Dr. Motion is in. This is a classic.
I misunderstood that single line. What threw me off the whole time is I thought the sisters already agreed that the salad was good. That's not the case. The sisters agreed that the brother should have lied.
Yes.
And that's because women are okay with being dishonest at the dinner table. No. And besides, anyways, we know there's a fuck sibling train that when a parent leads it, every other sibling tries to jump onto. No, this person is not an asshole for telling the truth about the salad.
So mom's an asshole. Sisters are an asshole.
Yeah. And dad.
Wait, I will say the guy, presumably, I don't know. This person is an asshole if they did lack tact.
Just like you said.
If they're like, nah, that salad was shit.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you said it like that, like, dude, that's your mom. Like, she still made you food, bro.
Yeah.
Eat it. Even if you don't like it, you know, at least try it. And like, you know, mom, yeah, it could have used this. You know, I really don't like the beans, and that's what kind of threw me off for it. But the rest of it was really good. I just didn't like that portion.
Yeah.
Having tact.
Exactly.
And know your audience.
Yeah.
But if you didn't do that, then yes, you are an asshole as well.
Yeah. And then also you would wonder, like, I'm telling you, there's layers to this. Did said person, because we did assume it's gender.
This is a blooming onion.
Exactly. Did they bite it and make a face that they clearly didn't like it? Or was there some element to the salad that you know they don't like? Like, I fucking hate almonds. Put almonds on a salad?
I'm out.
Especially if you're my mom. Like, you fucking...
You're setting me up. You know I don't like almonds.
And then, so you're fucking wretchedly eating it and you don't want to. And she goes, oh, what happened? You hold the salad good? And you're like, bitch, you know... Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like we don't know enough. I'll say this. That whole family tree is probably assholed out. Every single one of them.
I'm going to say everybody here fucked up.
And I would even say, I would tell one of the sisters, you're adopted. You know what I mean? Just fuck it.
That's one of those arguments where it ends. You know what? Fuck you. You're adopted.
You guys don't wonder why you're less than 9 months apart with different last names?
I just appreciate the amount of privilege in this family to really have a family argument over a salad.
A salad, right?
Yeah.
Over a salad.
You know what? Kids in Africa are starving right now.
No
shit.
they're making it sound like this salad was their main course.
Yeah.
When's the last time you had an aperitif?
An aperitif?
Yeah, that's like an appetizer, but Italian. An aperitif.
Oh.
And then you have digestif, which is like dessert.
That's a soprano thing?
No. Nope.
Did you learn that in Sopranos?
I learned that from Maid with Jon Favreau.
Okay. Nice.
Have you watched Maid?
I watched it once. I got to watch it again.
Dude, can I watch it with you?
Yeah.
Oh,
viewing party.
I love it.
We'll do it.
I love Maid so much. We'll have to do it at my house because only two people can go potty at a time at your house.
This is true until we fix the $10,000 plumbing. It's fucking true. I don't have any you-know-whats this week. Do you have any you-know-whats?
I think I kind of shot my you-know-what on the Sizzler. All right.
I do have one. It's on top of my head. Good.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, it's on top of my head. So I was having a conversation with my wife. And we were watching, I don't know, some music video shit. I don't fucking know. Point being is that, you know what?
What's that?
You know what? Okay.
Take
what?
One.
Yeah. Okay. You know what?
What?
You have to come to terms with the fact that you're old when you get really fucking excited about something from a long time ago.
What do you mean?
So like, okay, so we were watching like this music video shit. I don't know. But
was it Honey But My Red Hair? That one always gets me hard.
Maybe it was.
All right.
And so the song comes on, you're like, oh, that's my jam.
Hell
like
yeah.
That was the one. I remember this song.
And it's all, this is how you.
Yeah. And it's really an old song.
Yeah.
So you have to come to terms like, oh, just you admit that you're old, right?
Because
that's an oldie now. And because you got excited about it,
yep.
Ergo,
you're old, bro.
You have to accept it. And if people make fun of you, you got to just own it.
Yep.
Yeah. That was the you know what. I didn't write it down, but it was off the top of my head.
I got two. One's not going to make any sense. I'll shoot that one first. You know
Fantastic.
What?
Fantastic. What?
Walk down the halls of a hotel in Vegas at like 2, 3 in the morning on a weekend.
That's asking for trouble.
Dude, you're going to find a new level of sadness.
What levels of sadness do we encounter walking down a hotel hallway in Las Vegas at 2 or 3 in the morning?
Much like the blooming out onion of that salad.
Okay.
Let's start. You'll start to hear girls getting it.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And as you walk down the hall, so this is what happened. The last week I stayed in Vegas, and my room was the last room of a probably 200-yard hall.
Nice.
And I'm going back to room at 3 o'clock in the morning. You can hear this girl getting it, that girl getting it. This girl getting it.
Good for them, man.
Exactly, right?
It's been a long quarantine.
But riddle me this, Batman. There's no way there's that many men good at fucking on my floor at that time in this city in one hallway.
There were some novelty toys at play, probably.
Not necessarily, maybe. But what I'm saying is there was probably a couple girls who hurt other girls and are just now playing the game.
Oh, it's like who can like bark the loudest in the neighborhood?
Kinda.
Got it.
And the saddest thing taking place is whatever's going on behind the eyes of one of those, I'm sure, beautiful young women that are just getting rocked not properly. Just making noise for novelty.
Just
for
trying.
Theater, if you will. For theater.
All, someone give that lady an Oscar.
All for me to enjoy walking down the hall at 3 in the morning having one like, I had done well.
You should have knocked on each door and just applauded, like, yeah.
Nah,
good
instead
job.
What I did that classic walk where you're like walking, you jump and click heels, you know? And it was good. It was good to hear my guys getting it and girls getting it. But for a second I was just like, there's no way. And maybe there was. Maybe all the stars
aligned.
It was
a magical time.
And everybody was just fucking 100 that time.
Yeah.
But I know that not to be true.
The odds show that that could not be the case.
Not so much.
Nice.
Not at the. We stayed at the Gold Coast. We weren't at the Cosmopolitan.
Oh yeah, that's not gonna happen.
I was not at the area.
Hey, that methamphetamines.
Not even Planet Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
The Gold Coast. There's a bowling alley on the second floor.
Yes, there is.
And apparently on the seventh floor, everybody's rocking it right. Not true, my friend.
Not true.
Not true.
Okay, what's your next one?
Okay, that was my discombobulated one.
It makes sense. I got it.
All right. This is my effort to bring both sides together to meet in the middle.
Oh, good.
You know what?
What?
If I have to wear a mask to make you feel better about you being out.
True.
You need to be okay with showing ID for me to feel better about an election being authentic.
Okay, hold on. Let me process.
Let me process.
Let me process for context.
That's why I went for the pussy one first.
If
I need to wear a mask to make you feel better about you being out, then you need to be okay with me needing people to show ID at a voting booth to respect the results of the election.
I can get on board with that.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
So a lot of what's going on in Georgia is voter ID law.
Okay.
There probably is some weird shit in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But from what I read, because we talked about last week and we both said, we didn't read enough.
Yeah, there's a lot to that. There's a lot to go through. Yeah.
What I read through was it's primarily voter ID law.
Sure.
Okay. And if you need me to wear a mask.
Yeah.
So you could feel better about you being out. Because if I didn't wear a mask and you weren't out, you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Then I just want you to show ID to make me feel better about the results of an election. Let's make each other feel better.
I agree to that. I agree to that to the extent of like a simple mask, simple ID showing.
Right.
If you're wearing a shitty mask, you're still wearing a mask. If you show a shitty fake ID.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to fucking make you check million signatures. We're not going to check for this or check for that. Hey, if you have an ID that illustrates that you are from, you know, wherever the fuck you are. Yeah,
yeah.
Fucking your county, your street, your passport, wherever the fuck. If you have an ID and you show up and like, I'm here to vote, I'm cool with that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I kind of broke into the voter ID shit and it's almost like there's certain things that I feel like the Democratic Party does to act on behalf of handicapped Democrats.
Yeah.
And I go, well, it's kind of like when someone says something like jokingly that's offensive. And then the other person who's not a member of that race or religion takes it to the next level and like defends them. Like you can't say that about black people. And you're like, well, your racism is showing.
Yeah.
I was being silly. You're being outrageous.
Yeah, I'm being silly. They were laughing. And no one invited you to this party.
Karen, you know? So like when Democrats, and I'm using Georgia specifically, come out and say, hey, they don't have the ability to get ID.
Yeah.
You go, whoa, what do you mean they don't have the ability to get ID?
Yeah.
Like, you're handicapping them.
Yeah.
So I just kind of had that feeling where it's just like, why don't we all make each other feel better?
Yeah.
If there's some crooked shit going on, you know, message Imagine, let him know to tell me about it because I'm not going to read your messages. but I just feel like, if we all took two or three steps to like make each other feel better, we could close the gap that had been made by the last
administration.
Administration. Thank you. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, I think so as well.
We've been torn apart by that administration.
I think so as well. As always, devil's in the details, but the statement that you have made,
right?
I agree to that. I think that is acceptable.
That was my only one.
Fantastic. As always, want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do and want to contribute to my plumbing repairs, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance.
We're going to make a GoFundMe.
Yeah. And lastly, don't forget, there is power in numbers. And together, we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine, and that's Man Motion. And we'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Yay, yay.
Once again, don't have the outro. I'm fucking ready to go. I get so into the conversation, I just fucking never get it, man.
I think you don't expect us to make it to the end.
Yeah, I expect the fucking battery to run out first.